Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 9, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John, and we're seeing this great book, this powerful Gospel, as John shows Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God. We've seen from the beginning of our study that John records basically at seven signs or seven miracles that show that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It goes back to John 20, verses 30 and 31. John writes, there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you would have eternal life. That's the purpose of the book. John is writing to show us who Jesus is, giving us the signs. We have a couple of things for you, as you know, as you pick them up when you come in. We have an outline of the Gospel of John on one side of this little card, and the other side is the seven signs that are recorded in the book, also the seven I Am statements. We also have the book, The Living Water, which is the Gospel of John. You can take as many of these as you want, hand them out, give them out to people. Tell them, read the book. The book is the Gospel of John. When they read it, they'll see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, and they'll put their faith in Him. Now, we began last week seeing the sixth sign. There are seven signs that Jesus did in the Gospel, or that are recorded in the Gospel. We're seeing the sixth of the seven signs. We're also seeing the second of the seven I Am's, where Jesus claims to be the light of the world. It sort of goes together. In this long passage, we're seeing the healing of a man who was born blind, and there's so much in there, it really takes us a couple of times. Now, as I said last time, we saw that Jesus is the light of the world. That's who He is, and He is the one that gives sight. We looked at the issue of suffering, even in this passage, because one of the questions that the disciples raised was, who sinned in this issue, the parents or this man that he's born blind? And of course, we talked a little bit about why there is suffering, why bad things happen, those kind of things. And then we see the legalism of religion, of these Pharisees, and what they think about this. They're so tied into their legalism, they miss the miracle and they miss who Jesus is. And we look at this man who is born blind, never educated, never knows anything, and yet he knows so much more than these religious leaders. There's so much there. There's a great deal in the passage, and we'll see it as we go through. You know, there are two words that sort of stand out, I think, in religion. I call it religion, but there are two words, and the words are legalism and license. Now let's talk about legalism. Is like the set of rules. Legalism is where you say, okay, this is what you have to do. There's certain things that are right, certain things are wrong. We're not talking just about the Bible. We're just saying that people say, here's all these rules. Then there's license, which says, no, you have freedom. You have freedom to do anything. In fact, you have freedom to sin. You can do anything you want. Now let's think about those two words for just a second. Let's think about legalism. Legalism is really a set of rules, but it's not necessarily the rules in the Bible. The Bible gives us things that are right and wrong. There are a lot of areas that aren't covered in the Scripture. There's things that we call gray areas, like Romans 14, which says, these person must be persuaded in their own heart. Well, legalism is this. Legalism is a person who says, these are the things you ought to do. Whether the Bible says it or not, you ought to do it. And legalism is when a person decides that others are to follow their own convictions, their convictions. Where you can go, what you can do, what you can watch, what you want to do, those kind of things. When we place our rules that are not found in the Scripture and other people, that's legalism. Now, license is the opposite. License says, I can do anything I want to do. I have this freedom. I can do anything I want to do, even to sin. Paul says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity to sin. Because when you have license, and if you're not careful, you can destroy testimony and it can be a stumbling block. Now, we find both in religion. In this passage, and in this section, the issue is legalism. The issue is these religious leaders. First of all, there were already 613 commandments found in the Mosaic Law. That should be enough, okay? But what they did is they added the rules. They imposed their rules on others. And they had a special issue with the Sabbath. Now, the Bible talked about keeping the Sabbath holy. But what they did is said, well, the Sabbath, the Bible says the Sabbath, was made for man. It was the time for his rest and his freedom, his relaxation and his worship. But the religious leaders turned it around and they said, no, man's made for the Sabbath. And there was the bondage and the rules. And we find that Jesus, on purpose, oftentimes, did his ministry and his signs and his service and his miracles on the Sabbath, on purpose, to show the legalism of these religious leaders. As we look at the sixth sign, Jesus heals the blind man, and he heals him on the Sabbath. We looked earlier in the Gospel of John when he healed that man had been paralyzed all those years. He did that on the Sabbath day. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to see division as always. There are going to be some who believe, and they see what he did. They see the sign. They say, who else could this be? It's got to be the Messiah. There'll be those who reject, especially the religious leaders. Their legalism causes them to miss the miracle and the Messiah. Well, let's remind ourselves what happened. Jesus is in Jerusalem with his men. And we're not sure. It's probably about 4 to 4.5 months before he actually goes to the cross to pay for the sins of the world. He's walking with his disciples. They see a beggar. The beggar is sitting there. The beggar's been there. The rumors and the things about this guy is he was born blind. And all his life he sat there and he's begged. The disciples look at Jesus and said, who sinned here, his mama and daddy or him? And Jesus said, no, it wasn't his mother or daddy or him. This is for the glory of the world and the glory of the Lord. And because he says, I'm the light of the world. And so what he did is he went over to this guy and he spit on the ground and he got some mud and he stuck it on the guy's eyes. And he said, okay, lean back a little bit now. I want you to go to the pool of Siloam and I want you to wash. And the guy went over to the pool of Siloam and washed. And when he washed that mud off his eyes, he could see. And he came back, and when he came back, people saw him, and they said, look, that's the guy. Some people said, isn't that the guy that sat over there and begged? Other people said, no, it couldn't be him. It must look like him. And he said, no, it's me. And they said, what in the world has happened to you? And he says, the man named Jesus put mud on my eyes. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I washed, and this is what happened. And so they're all amazed. In fact, look at verse 11 of John 9. He says, the man who is called Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to see. He says he's a man. A man called Jesus. And that's how he thinks of him right now. He said, this man called Jesus made some clay and anointed my eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I can see. And they said, well, where is he? And he goes, I don't know. In fact, if you said to him, what does this Jesus man look like? He'd say, I don't know. I've never seen him. Because remember, I was blind. I washed off. I come back. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know anything. Well, they don't know what to do because they say, we got a problem here. Because this man, this happened on the Sabbath. So look at verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. That was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. Now here's the problem. It's the Sabbath. He did his work on the Sabbath. They said it had to be wrong. You're not supposed to do things like that on the Sabbath. We made the clay. When he spit on the ground and made the clay and put it on that guy's eye, the religious leaders say, you can't do that. That's working. You can't work on the Sabbath. That's our rules. That's our rules. Nowhere in the scripture did it say anything like that. So they took him there. And let me just say this. The focus is not on healing. It's on the Sabbath. And that's what religion always does. It blinds and binds. Think about that. It always blinds and binds. It blinds us to the truth. And it binds us in bondage to the rules. See, there's so many people that are blind in religion that you show them truth from the Bible and they go, no, I don't believe that. And they're in bondage by rules. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about because you came out of legalistic churches. You grew up in legalism. You understand what it is and you understand the bondage. Now, some of you are very fortunate. You never grew up in legalism. And you don't really even know what we're talking about. They're blind to the truth and they're bound in the rules. They see the Sabbath, but they miss the Savior. We talked last week that everybody ought to be excited. They ought to be jumping up and down and hugging and everything and saying, this man was blind his whole life. He was a beggar. Now he can see. He can get a job. He can live a normal life. We ought to be all so happy. And the religious leaders are going, oh, no. This happened on the Sabbath. This man has done something wrong. Think about it. So look what happened. Verse 15, the Pharisees are also asking him again how he received his sight. They said, what happened? He said, well, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I see. He said, I just told him. That's what happened. I washed and I could see. And by the way, we talked about this last time, that when Jesus did miracles and signs, especially the ones in the Gospel of John, he never did it the same way. So that people didn't think there was a pattern. If you just do the following things, this will happen. No, Jesus did it differently every time. So look at the response. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this is verse 16. Some of the Pharisees were saying, this man's not from God. Why? Because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, well, how can a man who's a sinner do such signs? How can he perform such signs? And there was division among them. Now, I want you to see how it works. Here's the logic of the Pharisees. God's people keep the Sabbath. He didn't keep the Sabbath. So he's a sinner and he's not from God. That's their thinking. What about the miracle? We don't care about the miracle. We're not looking at the miracle. We're looking at what he did. You have to keep the Sabbath if you're going to be God's people. He didn't keep the Sabbath, so he's not God's people. He's not. But the logic of others, well, wait a minute. God's representative glorifies God. He opened the eyes of the blind. That glorifies God. So he must be from God and not a sinner. That's why they were divided. Whenever the truth of Jesus Christ is made known, there is always division. When you go out these doors and you tell people that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and he paid for sin and he rose again and that he gives eternal life simply as a gift, simply by faith, there's going to be division. There are going to be some people who believe that, some people who won't. In Acts chapter 28, when Paul was in prison and all these religious people came, all these Jews came to hear him speak, and he talked about Jesus and the death and resurrection, it said, and some believed and some didn't. I told you about the painting about J. Vernon McGee used to say. He was a Bible teacher. He said he had this painting in which there was a cross in the ground, and it was digging up the ground like a plow, and it was dividing, and it was saying the cross always divides. The Pharisees were looking at the wrong thing because they knew Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 said when the Messiah come, the blind would see, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear. That's exactly what's happening. That's the signs. But they're looking at Sabbath rather than the signs. They think Jesus is wrong. Well, watch what happened. They asked the man. So they said to him, to the man who was blind, verse 17, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. Now, this is where we stopped last time because we're seeing the progression. Because, see, the first time he said, he's just a man named Jesus put it on my eyes. But this time they said, what do you think this man is? He says, I'm a prophet. He must be a prophet. Because he knew in the Old Testament, Isaiah and Elijah and Elisha and those prophets, they did miracles. He says he must be a prophet from God. Well, they don't know what to do with this man. So they say, we don't really believe this man. In fact, I'm not even sure he was actually born blind. You know what we need to do? Let's get his parents over here. Let's find out about it. So look what happened in verse 18. The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. They decide to call the parents. And they are going to raise some questions. In fact, they raise three questions. Look what it says. And they questioned them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see? That's the three questions. Is this your son who was born blind? How does he now see? Well, notice how they answer. They answered the three questions right back. His parents answered, verse 20, and said to them, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. Guess what? They're lying. They're not telling the truth. You don't think that this son who'd been born blind came back to them and said, Mom and Daddy, I can see the man named Jesus did it. You don't think all these people in the neighborhood, everybody's all around talking about it. The man named Jesus put mud on his eyes. They call for the parents. Is that your son? Yes, that's our son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was born blind. How does he now see? We don't really know. We don't know. We don't know, and we don't know who opened his eyes. Well, wait, who even said somebody opened his eyes? Right? Where'd you come up with that one? See, they were afraid. Why? Verse 22. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anybody confessed him, if anybody acknowledged him, acknowledged Jesus to be Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. Remember, Christ is the title. The title, the Christ means the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, the Savior of the world. And so they're saying if anybody's going around saying they believe that Jesus is the Savior, is the Christ, we'll remove them from the synagogue. They didn't want to be removed from the synagogue because, see, in their minds, that's the most important place you can be. There were different levels. Sometimes they could remove people from synagogue for 7 days, sometimes for 30 days, sometimes permanently. And it was very serious. And they thought, well, if you got removed from the synagogue, you might not be able to have a relationship with God. And so they were afraid, and they didn't want to get into trouble with the Jews. They didn't know exactly what to say. And so in verse 23, they said, for this reason, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. You can ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. Why ask us? Ask him. They already asked him, right? They already said, what happened? He said, well, Jesus put some mud on my eyes. I went over to the pool of Siloam, washed, and I could see. His parents said, why don't you just ask him? He's old enough. So look what they do. Verse 24. So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner. Give glory to God. What you need to admit is this man did wrong by healing you. He is a sinner because he broke the Sabbath. See, legalism blinds. Listen, you know people who are into legalism. They've got rules to do on every little thing. Let me tell you what I thank God about this church. This church has never been legalistic. And when sometimes a little bit of legalism will rise up, people will just go, oh, I'm sorry, don't worry about that. We don't do that. Isn't our rule around here. It may be your rule. It ain't our rule. We don't have rules like that. I thank the Lord that we're a grace church, not a legalistic church. Now, this legalism here is they are so hung up on the rules, they can't see the miracle. And let me tell you, listen, I think they can't deny the miracle, so they have to focus on the Sabbath. And religion always blinds. By the way, they're the educated ones. The religious leaders are. They're the ones that have been to the schools. They're talking to a guy that's never had any education in his life, that's never done anything but be a beggar. And guess what? He knows a lot more than they know. And look what he said. That's because legalism blinds. Watch what happens in verse 25. He answered them. They said, give glory to God. This man's a sinner. He said, well, whether he's a sinner, I don't really know. One thing I do know, though, I was blind. And now I see. He says, listen, I don't want to get in all your theological debates, but I can tell you one thing. I used to not be able to see, and now I can see. So that's what I know. He doesn't even know what Jesus looks like. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. If Jesus was standing in the crowd and somebody said, do you know the man? He'd go, I have no idea who the man is. Verse 26. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? What they're hoping is that he'll say something that contradicts something he said earlier. And they'll say, see, you don't even know. You're making up things. You don't even know what happened. You said this while ago. Now you say this now. Obviously, you're confused. That's what they want. That's why they keep asking him questions. They're hoping he's going to mess up. But look what he says to him. He's pretty smart, by the way. He answered them, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciple too, do you? Now, they really slandered him right there. He really went right in the face and said, oh, you want to be his disciple also? Now, he asked it where it's expected and no answer in the Greek. He knows they're going to say no. But he's making fun of them. He says, oh, you might want to be his disciple too, right? Because of what he's done for you, done for me, and he wants to do it for you. Let me tell you, it's going to make them so mad. Look what they do, verse 28. They reviled him. They made fun of him. And they said, you're his disciple. We're disciples of Moses. Listen, you may follow this man. We follow Moses. Why? Because what is Moses famous for? The lawgiver. See, they got the law. See, 613 commandments plus all their rules. They won't be like Moses. Moses came up with a bunch of rules. They come up with a bunch of rules. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't even know where he's from. Moses gave the law, but we don't know where this man's from. Yes, they did. He's from Galilee. Everybody knew that. People talked about Jesus of Nazareth. They knew where he's from. But look what the man who was born blind, who now sees, who now knows everything. He says, you know, this is an amazing thing that you don't know where he's from. Verse 30, the man answered and said, well, here's an amazing thing that you don't know where he's from. And yet he opened my eyes. I can tell you where he's from. He's from God. That's where he's from. Notice, we know God doesn't hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That's a powerful statement. He said, it amazes me you don't know where he's from. You guys are supposed to be the smart people. Aren't you all the smart ones? Don't you all know everything? Don't you know all the laws? Don't you know all the rules? And you don't know where he's from? I'll tell you where he's from. He's from God, because God doesn't hear sinners. And this man opened my eyes. He's got to be from God. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The way it's written in the Greek, it's if this man were not from God, and he is a second class, and it's not true. He is from God. Religion always blinds. The truth is, he's from God. Watch what they do. They are so mad at this man who doesn't know anything, who's begged all of his life, and now he's made them look idiotic in front of the crowd. The crowds are all around watching all this. And he says, oh, it amazes me. You don't know where he's from. He's from God. I thought y'all know everything. And so what do? They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you're teaching us?" So they put him out. You know what they just said? The reason you're blind is because your parents sinned. You're just the consequences of sinful parents. The reason you're blind is because your parents sinned. Remember what Jesus said earlier? Because, see, a lot of people thought that when something happened to somebody, remember we talked about this last week, when something bad happened to somebody, maybe they did something wrong, and that's why that happened. And that's why they looked at Jesus and said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither one of them." The religious leader said, "The reason you're blind, well, you were blind, is because your parents sinned. That's what's wrong with you." He's cast out of the religious system, the synagogue. Some people will say, you know, that's bad. I mean, the guy, now he's out. He's out in the cold, so to speak. But let me tell you who he has. He has Jesus. And see, we don't need religion. We need relationship. We need Jesus Christ. Is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? And whoever believes in him has eternal life. We have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Watch what happened. Jesus heard that they'd put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Jesus comes up to him and basically asks the big question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, by the way, the Son of Man is the title for the Messiah. It's found in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 9. The Son of Man. Do you believe in the Messiah? Do you believe the Messiah? And the guy answers logically. He said, "Well, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? I'd like to see him. I didn't see him." Now, let me understand something. The object of our faith is the person Jesus Christ. The object of our faith is not ourselves, and it's not our works. It's not going doing something. It's not connected with this church and those kind of things. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. We trust in him and him alone for eternal life. Salvation is in a person, the person of Christ. It's not in actions that we might do. It is in faith alone and Christ alone. He says, "Tell me who he is, Lord. Who is he that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he's the one who's talking with you." Jesus says, "That's me. I'm the one. I'm the one." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Do you see the progression? Think about this. He saw Jesus as a man, and then he saw Jesus as a prophet, then he saw Jesus as the Messiah. And what's the result when he believes? He worships. That's what it's all about. See, for us, we heard about Jesus, and then we thought Jesus was something good, and then we realized that Jesus indeed is the Son of God who died and rose again, and we trust in him as our Savior. And what do? We worship him. Why do we come together this morning? It's to worship Jesus Christ. It is to be trained and equipped so that we go out these doors to serve him. Well, watch what happened. Jesus is going to talk for a second, and the crowd is there. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." You know what he's saying? He says, watch what he says. "For judgment I came into this world that those who do not see may see." The ones who don't see are the sinners who say, "I can't see. I'm lost. I need a Savior." The blind are the ones who need a Savior. And he says that those I came so those who can't see, those who realize they're sinners, they can see. They can be saved. But those who see, who don't think they need a Savior, they're blind. He says, "I come for the unrighteous, not the righteous." Look at this. Jesus came to the blind, those who realize that they are sinners and need a Savior. That's the blind ones, and they can see by faith. The next slide, I think, says that he came to those who think they can see, the Pharisees. They're blind because they don't believe. In this passage, he says, "I came to those who don't see, those who are sinners and need a Savior, so that they can see. But those who think they see, those religious leaders who don't think they need a Savior, they'll be blind." Now, the religious leaders hear that, and they know exactly what he said. So look what they do. Verse 40, those of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say these things, and they said to him, "We're not blind too, are we?" They're saying, "We don't need you. We don't really need you, do we?" He said to them, "If you were blind, if you realized you were a sinner, you would have no sin because you believe in me and have a Savior. But since you say we see, you don't think you have a need, your sin remains." As long as they refused to recognize their need for a Savior, they miss salvation. There are people you talk with every day, and they don't think they need a Savior. They may say, well, yeah, everybody's done wrong, but that's not the issue, and I've tried the best I can. I talked with a guy, it's been 2 weeks ago now, almost 3 weeks ago, and I told you this already. I talked to him for almost 30 minutes about the issue of salvation. And he could not get past the point that he must do good things to be saved. And I said, no, it's not you. It's Jesus. He's the Savior. He died and rose again. You can't do good things. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ died for you. If you trust in Him, you have eternal life. Well, I got to get my act together. I said, no, it has nothing to do with your act. You know, you don't even have an act. Let's just face it. We don't even have an act, right? I got to get my act together. You don't have an act. It's not you. And he never understood that. Never understood that. There are people who are blind because they think they don't have that need. They think they can meet that need in themselves. As long as they refuse to recognize their need for a Savior, they missed salvation. Let me give you some applications. Because, you know, when you think about why do we come together? We come together to study the Word of God, to worship our Savior, and then to be trained and equipped to serve Him. And so what are some things we can apply? And here's the first one. There will always going to be, just remember this, there can always be division concerning Christ. Whenever we proclaim Jesus Christ as the Savior, there are going to be some people believe and some people reject. We got to be faithful to take the message in this community as we scatter out. But we realize we're ambassadors for Christ. We proclaim it in this community. Be clear on the grace message of salvation. But realize there will be people who believe and people who won't. Second truth is just remember that legalism blinds and binds people both for salvation and Christian life. Think about it. For salvation, the whole issue of salvation, there's so many people who think that they must do good things to get to God. They miss the grace of God. It's simply by faith. And you know what they say? That's too easy. It can't be that easy. It can't be that. It's got to be more than that. And they are blind. Because that's what legalism does. It says you must do this, 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 this. You got to get your act together. If you get your act together, maybe God will love you. And so legalism blinds them for the salvation. But and people just don't realize their need for a Savior. And when we go out these doors, we just tell them the truth that Jesus loves them and He died for them and He gives them eternal life. There's some, the aspect of legalism blinds and binds in the Christian life because there's so many people who have trusted in Christ, but they think the Christian life is rules. And they live in legalism all the time, and it breaks your heart. And as I said earlier, there's some of you who grew up in churches that are legalistic, that everything is rules and what you can and can't do, what you can't, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. You better be doing this, this, and this. And if you don't do these rules, then you may not be saved, or you may lose it, or you're just really bad. We're not in legalism. We're in the grace of God. The third thing, may we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Now look at this passage and we think about the growth of this man. He started by just saying, a man, Jesus. Then he said, a prophet. And then he called him, he told him, the Son of Man, the Messiah. And then he believed and he worshiped. And we think about us as there's a progression. We hear the truth and we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Then we begin to grow as believers and then we serve and become a disciple. So the plan is not only do we trust in Christ as Savior, but then we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. So may we know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. May we see Jesus as the light of the world, growing in our fellowship with Him as we seek to make Him known in this community. There's a lot here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank You, Lord, for these truths. Thank You, Lord, that when we present Jesus Christ as the Savior, that there will be division, that some will believe and some won't. Lord, I wish that everyone believes, but Lord, we know that when we take the truth, there'll be people who reject. Lord, we realize that there are people who are into legalism. It blinds them. It binds them. Lord, we know that there are people who think it's good work for salvation. We know there are people who are saved, and their whole Christian life is the set of rules. Thank You, Lord, that You give to us the Word of God, but the Christian life is growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. May we continue to grow. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.